On this week's Big Tech Show, you might not think it could happen to you, but our guest this week explains how a significant number of Irish people may be falling victim to romance frauds online.
Victims can feel a misplaced sense of shame. People can blame themselves. They feel embarrassed, and so they don't want to tell family, friends. They don't want to report it to the police. In some cases, of course, the victims are already in relationships. They're married. They have an extra reason to keep that quiet.
The Big Tech Show, available on all podcast platforms.
Listen and follow the Left Wing Rugby podcast with me, Will Slattery, and Luke Fitzgerald.
As far as I can see, I always want to get in the Irish team, and that should be every young player's dream and ambition in this country. And if you're playing in a place where you're not going to get the opportunities in the big games, that they're the ones that get you picked. They are the ones, the Champions Cup games are the ones that get you picked. You need to be playing in a team and starting in a team for those games. It's as simple as that if you want to play in the Irish team.
Every week on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I look at Gaelic football and I go, I love a bash at that. Looked off the touchline, I'm milling each other. I'm going, what's the crack here, like, what's going on? Next one, I'm on the pitch. So this fella's marking me, right? And he's looking at me, bang him on the chin. And I'm able to come back and hit me back.
I can't wait for junior football.
Yeah. Oh, no. Philly. Was it you?
It was me.
Who were you writing for, the junior
Jordan? Darren Hughes.
You were a little bollock.
And you said...
He was a little bollock. How am I sitting here?
What I want to know is how to be a forger.
Yeah.
He must have cost him a fortune, did he?
Welcome, 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 welcome back to Breaking Ball with Philly McMahon. I'm Conan Doherty, and this is Philly McMahon. This is the man with his name on the wall. This is a man who is well used to blockbuster weekends like this. And what a bloody weekend we have ahead. What a draw. The All-Ireland football quarterfinals have thrown up. They said football was dead, Philly, but there must be an Easter Sunday every bloody month in this game because football has resurrected again. I mean, I think it's the draw that we all wanted. Mayo and Dublin. Well, maybe people outside Mayo and Dublin, we all wanted it. This is the one. Like, we've been crying out for it. We've been deprived of it for 2 years.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about you. Like, what are you like weekends?
Well, you couldn't have made this draw up. Like, you know, you really couldn't. You know, to have the Mayo-Dublin rivalry, to have the Kerry-Tyrone rivalry there as well on the other side. Four strongest teams, I would say, in my opinion. The other four teams might feel, you know, disrespected in that, but yeah. I think that's the way it is. And for me...
I feel like you're trying to needle at me there. Like, yeah. You know, I'm sitting here with a dog in the race.
Yeah, I think there's someone to come out of that those two games as well. Like, that could cause problems, definitely. But I do think the two big talking points is the two games around Kerry and Tyrone and Dublin and Mayo.
Yeah, well, Dublin Mayo are tomorrow. So take me back. Like, you've prepared for plenty of Dublin Mayo games, usually a Sunday. What are you like on a Saturday? What's happening on a Saturday now in the build-up to this game? Are you trying to avoid people?
Yes, to an extent. You're trying to contain your energy. Yeah. So the way of thinking of it is you're like a rocket and you're trying to put fuel into the body.
Yeah.
Emotionally, physically, psychologically, socially. You're trying to basically build that energy block up. And... the rocket's getting fuel and fuel and fuel. And if there's leaks in that, by the time you get to the match, the rocket won't go to its destination. So you just want to, once you get to that day, which is Sunday, which is tomorrow, you want to basically be able to go, right, lift off, let's go. Once you go across, once the ref blows the whistle, throws that ball up, the rocket goes.
Yeah.
So people will come up to you and speak to you and have conversations with you out of respect and just... general socialising, and but that takes energy from you, like, you know, that saps your energy, you know. So you have to be able to block that out a little bit, get around your teammates a little bit because you're speaking about the same things. And just important thing is to switch off. So I wouldn't change me the way I work. Luckily enough, people that I'm around in me in my job in the gym wouldn't really talk GA to me when I was playing, you know. So that was important. And yeah, just do the same things, but there's a different, like when you play Mayo, there's, the lads, I'd say, tomorrow will feel a little bit different to the way I did, because there's a bit more hurt that they can use for motivation in terms of the last time they played them, and they got beaten and knocked out of the All-Ireland semi-final. So, and I think there's a couple of lads there that also are close to retirement, maybe this year, maybe next year, who knows, that'll mean a little bit more to them to get over the line to get to that semi-final, you know.
Are you, be honest, are you reading any previews or anything on a Saturday? Are you reading what people are saying in the papers?
No.
You're avoiding all that?
Yeah.
Are you on Twitter or anything?
Some lads will be on Twitter, some lads won't be on Twitter. It depends on how well you can handle Twitter, like social media. But you definitely wouldn't be doing that and around looking at papers or listening. I certainly, when I'm in my car, I have music on, I don't really listen to the radio.
Yeah.
So you kind of organically block some of it out, but sometimes you just can't, you know. But it's the conversations more so, people, you know, in cafes, walking in the street, and you're socializing aspect that really, really grabs the energy from you.
Yeah. You mentioned that All-Ireland semi-final. Was that your last game for Dublin? Like, does that sting a little bit? I know you've won so much.
Yes, it does sting. There's no denying it does sting, you know. We obviously, it was my last year. It would have been nice to get to a final first and foremost, but, you know, we should have won that game. You know, the last moments we start messing around at the back. There's this big thing around possession football nowadays. We did it wrongly that time. I think that's something Dublin are going to have to be very conscious of. I know we're going to talk about the analysis of the game, but you can't play, you know, possession football in your own defence against Mayo, because they're very good at high press. And we got punished for it and we got knocked out. So it was stinging. It was, we obviously had the altercation towards the end of the game, and then extra time, fair dues to Mayo. They blew us out of war.
Yeah. This must be a weird feeling for you now. Are you going on to watch it on Sunday?
I'm definitely going to go in to watch it. I was actually, you know what, you'd normally as an ex-player be okay for tickets, you know, but like start of the week I was like, yeah, it'd be grand.
This,
then I was like, oh my god,
wasn't it? Like, yeah,
I couldn't believe that it was like sold out so quickly, like, you know. And so, but I got me tickets, bringing Lennon and my wife Sarah into it as well, so that's nice.
I have the possibility of being in my ultimate happy place, right? So I think, I do firmly believe, right, there's no better place on earth than a double header when your team, your club or your county have just won the first game, and you can just sit back and enjoy the fireworks of the second game, and you can roar at the referee and you can roar at the umpire, just getting caught up with whoever's around you, and no dog in the fight, because your business is already taken care of. Derry are playing Cork beforehand, and I am praying if they win,
I think it's going to be a great game, by the way.
But I'm thinking, we're sitting in the canal end, Derry have already won, booked their semi-final place, and Mayo and Dublin of all the games are right there in front of me. The umpire is going to be right there in front of me. I am going to be telling him to do his job.
Well, listen, I'll be definitely getting into that force game as well, because I think it's going to be a cracker, like, you know. I've been so impressed with Cork, particularly in the last two games. Derry, you know, are up in the upper echelons now of teams in the All-Ireland series now, so they will compete really well.
But Cork will be favourites, Philly. Derry is happy to be here.
Bit of a carry answer there, is it? Yeah. So, you know, look, I think the last game of the group stages are excellent. I think we had a couple of really good games and surprises. To an extent, obviously Galway and Mayo was kind of evenly matched, but Cork coming through, I think, has definitely, you know, lit a flame under the championship a little bit, and then all these games, how they're fixtured, it's gonna be incredible.
It's gonna be brilliant, and it's all starting today. But right now, we're gonna cross over to our very special guest. We are going to talk about the games, the tactics. We're going to make a few predictions, and we're also going to see if Philly can get one back on the Philly versus challenge that we're doing every week. But first, here's our special guest. What an absolute pleasure it is to welcome this man to the show. He has managed 10 teams in Ireland, he's managed in England, he has even managed in Malta. Everywhere he goes, no matter what he's talking about, he has the ability to put a smile on your face. It is Roddy Collins. Welcome to the show, Roddy.
Well, I'd say thank you very much for a beautiful introduction. You didn't have to go 10 teams, did you? And by the way, I was only sacked by training.
Is that true?
No.
How's he got built a new house?
He's waiting for the Dublin job as well.
I did manage a Gaelic team.
Did you?
I did for O'Connell Boys.
O'Connell Boys in June 2006.
Yeah, training there and Ringsend.
That was a big deal, because that wasn't long after your Shamrock Rovers. That was when
And the lads rang me up, Brian Dunleavy, and one of the Walshes anyway, Johnny Walsh, rang me up and said, stop. Now, we played Ga. And I said, but the drills are different, aren't they? They're the same.
Just you think
catch
so?
The ball. Ah, yeah. The movement. I look at Gaelic football and I go, I love a bash at that.
Yeah.
Different movements, different ideas. Like, so, I know it's obviously a different game, Philly.
Yeah.
But, you know, the different aspects to it. I think I'll get to it, you know.
Yeah. So what did you think then when you went from Bow Shamrock Rovers and then you're in O'Connell Boys? Like, what was that like? Are they your local club?
No, they're not. Well, I hung around town all my life.
Yeah.
That's I was born in Cabra Boys. Spent a lot of my time around town. I went to O'Connell School for a short period of time till they copped on and slung me out. I ended up in Cabra Tech then. But no, the lads from Sheriff Street, I knew all the lads from there,
yeah.
And they basically were the team. And a lot of them were soccer players on their summer break. So I was doing a little bit of League of Ireland, so I was a little bit of a fitter than them. And I got in, and I got, it was junior football.
Yeah.
I could score goals, I could score points, I could run around. So, yeah, it was great. It was brilliant. It was a novelty for me. It wasn't a sport that, you know, I thought, well, I want to play for Dublin like Philly, or I want to go on to be like Jimmy Keaveney or anything like that, you know.
Yeah.
But it was just, I loved the during the summer. I loved the camaraderie. I loved the physicality.
Yeah.
And, you know, honestly, was it more digging matches in junior football than I was in boxing rings?
Yeah,
I can't wait for junior football.
Yeah. Oh, no, Philly. I remember playing against Nafina in a junior game.
Yeah.
Right? And it was down in Kilbarnock. In the, you know, the junior cup, you know, the junior cup is a huge cup to win. Yeah. Anyway, and I was back from England, and you know, I was fit, I was ready to go, wanted the ball all the time, wanted the ball run past people. That's what I looked off the touchline, and they're all milling each other. And I'm going, what's the crack here? Like, what's going on? That's what I'm on the pitch. So this fella's marking me, right? And he's looking at him, so I just banged him on the chin, and I'm waiting for him to come back and hit me back. And he went, oh, for fuck's sake, what was that about? I felt that serious. I was hugging him nearly and kissing him and apologising. But it was physical. We had a few mad jumpers. I won't name them. Sasso. Right. Sasso. You know Sasso. Sasso's mad. And he was a brilliant soccer player. Every row he started, and he was only that size.
But then, so when you went back to manage O'Connell Boys then, how did you find out? Was there much of a difference in the dressing room or training? Yeah,
what I want to know is, how did they afford you?
Yeah,
it must have cost them a fortune, did it?
There was no money involved. It's an amateur sport. I got a couple of points in the Bridge Tavern and a few All-Ireland tickets. That's the truth. I didn't last long. About a month I last because, you know, a fella's coming up half gargling, a fella's not coming up.
Yeah.
I was professional.
Yeah.
I was only ever involved in professional sports, you know. So when I seen a fella coming up with a belly that size, I went, it's not going to happen, you know what I mean? But I love the lads.
You didn't promise the Louis Copeland suits,
though. No, I couldn't be having them anyway. It cost a fortune on alterations. You'd have to get them off the record. Yeah.
What I'm fascinated about you is, so, like, for me, when I was younger, my parents used to, well, they got me into all sports. So they had me in hurling, they had me in boxing. And the two kind of main sports I went into was obviously GAA and soccer. Yours was more boxing and soccer. You know, your book is brilliant, The Rod Fowler. It talks about your father building the extension out the back and, yeah. You know, the sport was passed down through both sides of the family and obviously Steve being a world champion and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But how did you decide to go from one to the other?
Well, let me think. I think it was George Best in the European Cup final. When I watched that with me dad and I seen, you know, the exotic man running around and the crowds and all, I was smitten by that. The alternative was you're going to a stinking old gym, right? Great hitting fellas in the head, it's brilliant. They hit your back. You see a few stars. And then you go to school. It was only about 12, 13 when I realised it wasn't for me. Bruises on your face, hard blood up your nose. Want to have a kip on the desk and you couldn't. And then it was a very hard sport. Mm. And it's a single, you know, you're on your own. Yeah. I'm a group person. I like to pass things off,
yeah.
Deflect and do stuff like that. But it was, I think it was too tough for me, to be honest with you, Philly. I didn't like the hardness of it in the, not in the ring, I don't mind that, but going to smelly gyms and freezing and no showers and that. And then I started playing football and got a bit of recognition. Got picked for the Ireland under 15 international team. I got picked for the trials, didn't get the team. And then by seeing how, you know, the frills and spills that were with soccer. Yeah. And it was for me then.
Yeah.
And I'm a bit of an ego head and I loved a bit of flash.
Just on that point, know? Right, just on, you talk about ego, right? Every sport needs a Roddy Collins. Like, every sport probably has one in a different, I suppose, person. Like, you have, obviously, Mourinho is a manager, let's say, that takes the noise away from the players by being flamboyant.
Yeah.
Where do you think that came from? Did that come from the Gary Glitter days where you were saying that your parents came home after a few drinks and they were get Gary Glitter out?
Yeah, well, Ben, and I was good, but as well.
Do you want to explain that piece to Gary
Glitter? We lived in Carborough, right, in a 2 up, 2 down. My dad worked in Guinness's, right? And he got 2 large bottles every day and he didn't drink that much weekends. So they built up. So every 2 weeks, they'd come down to Hannah's Corner and there'd be a hooly in the house, right? And I'd be up in bed. I was a bit of an exhibitionist. I used to be Gilbert O'Sullivan on the radiogram when they weren't there. And then I'd be got out of bed, get him up. Could come down. But before I come down, I'd either be Gilbert or Gary Glitter. But Gary Glitter got them going more. And we should put my ma's leather jacket on, right? Put a mascara on my chest, right? And our big boots, right? And I'd walk in, come on, come on. And they'd all be going, and that got me going. So it was a bit of crack.
Yeah.
I loved the crack. My man and dad loved it. You could see the joy in their face. And it was just something. I don't mind like laughing at myself and having the crack, Philly. I've been doing it all my life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I can go into a pub and they'll go, he's fucking mad.
Yeah.
But I'm not mad. I just love a bit of crack. I would never offend anyone in it. So it came there, Philly. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Entertainment. It was better than lying in bed listening to Jack O'Rourke singing Tom Jones and wanting to be down there. So my entrance fee was coming down as Gary Glitter or Gilbert O'Sullivan with my little cap on.
Did that pass into the managerial?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Style. Yeah. I believe in managing, as you say, keep everything away from the players. Make them just feel free, right? Have a bit of crack when it's needed. Boom. When it's needed.
Yeah.
As your mates in Derry will tell you. Boy, did the last too long up there. He's like, what about Derry, man?
Well, I'll tell you, you're only a few months up there, but you scarred me for life because I'll never forget. I think the last time you and I came face to face, Roddy, I came walking. Remember the little office in there where the manager's
doing
office
the interviews,
was?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think you lost at Dundalk on the Monday night, 3-0.
That's right, and big Ryan McBride got an awful smack in the head.
And I remember vividly, the next game was at home with Friday night, Brandywell, and he beat Athlone 3-2.
That's right.
I think Enda Curran scored. I remember all this because I remember going into the office very innocently afterwards, and I'll try a double accent here, but I just heard, I'm not fucking happy with you. And I turned around, like all the other journalists are there, and I was a wee young boy, Kyra.
Was it you?
It was me.
Who were you writing for? The Daily
Derry News.
You were a little bollocks.
And you said,
he was a little bollocks. How am I sitting here? I'll tell you one thing.
And you said to me, do you write your headlines? And I had a chance. I could have just said no. I could have backed out of it. And I thought, I'll suck it up. I said, I do. What I always liked is that you pulled me into the office then, because all these journalists were there. I was embarrassed. You just pulled me in the office. You gave me a right dressing down. I was like, oh, sorry about that, Roddy. Yeah. I think the headline was Dundalk wiped the floor with Derry. And you were like, do you understand what that means? That was just like a term that I threw out there. And you went through like calling Derry a mop.
Well, do you know what? They didn't wipe the floors.
Well, you went through that in detail, didn't
you? I would have set a fire.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I made one comment up there, Philly, as the manager. I said, I wouldn't pay in to see Derry at the moment.
Yeah.
I was trying to turn it from a Hollywood team,
that's exactly what
Honey
you were saying,
Mountain team, which they still are at the moment. I wrote that last week, into a solid league winning team.
Yeah.
Not a cup, a little cup here and a parade down to the to the Guildhall. League champions. Yeah. Dogged. Like what Philly brought to Dublin. The cuteness. The toughness, you know, the dark arts, not just all Hollywood and then down for a drink into town. Yeah. I didn't want that. And there was a few heads around the place. I remember the first day I arrived in where you're talking about. And I'm the new manager. And I come up the stairs and there's fellas with that feet up on the boardroom table watching a big screen. Some, I don't know, what do I watch it? I walked in, I'm out now, there's about 7 of them. I went, get the fuck out. And don't ever come in here again. Don't ever watch the telly again. Yeah. Gone.
Were these players or...
Players. Professional players. It was a joke.
I have to pivot back to GAA on a GAA show.
So many stories.
But, like, did you go watch Philly's Dublin?
I watched Dublin all the time.
Yeah.
Beyond the hill. the great Dublin teams and the not so great Dublin teams.
Yeah.
And, you know, they gave us the best probably 6 years ever as Dublin supporters. We had intermittent good times as well. I was there when Keaveney played 74, only a kid. And the Hill is a sanctuary where Philly can do no wrong. That's why I love the Hill. The Dubs can do. I remember being there for the four
Mead
games. I'll never forget it.
That was unbelievable.
That was unbelievable.
Yeah.
We had a family pub in Ballybock at the time. And half of us the Dubs and half of us we made the Mead men welcome. And it was unbelievable, you know. And I remember the heartbreak of it, losing the fourth game. And I'd done a show there for Brian Mullins not so long ago with Joe Brolly up in Vincent's. And Bernard Flynn was on. I met Bernard on a load of golf things. I don't play golf, right? But people ask me, I'll go and pull a trolley. I'm not going to. I'll tell you what. I went to Mullingar, right? And I was asked to play as a golf name. I don't know, whatever I was. Manager of Bowes or something. And I went up and I walked in the club. And they all had gloves and checkered jumpers. And my shoulder's killing me. I'm not fucking making the show myself. I pulled the bag around my fellas, couldn't hear the ball that way. They were brutal. I was better than the whole lot of them. But they didn't have the glove or the jumper.
They looked good.
They looked great. But anyway, I met Bernard Flynn. But when I done the show with Bernard for Brian Mullins, his dinner, Gillard was the main man of that. And when he introduced, I said, I have to say this before, I said, you're a little bollocks. You ruined many days in us in Dublin. And like that, I said, but I forgive you now and we'll march on. And Flynn rings me all the time.
One of the key things I love about you is your love for Caroline and what she's done for you over the years in your career and outside of football as well. But this is getting a bit soppy now, but it is a crucial part to sports people. For me, you know, my wife, you know, 14 years playing, and the sacrifices the partners have to make is huge. And I just love how much, you know, I couldn't mention my wife enough for what she's done for me, but I love, you're always kind of, you know, you're a family man. You talk about Caroline a lot. You, even the way you say to her, you know, going to bed at night, I love you, pal.
Done it last
night. You know, so I think the football and theatre there, and then when you take that theatre away from Roddy, he's got this realism about him, which is, I think, is unbelievable, you know. To have it in this day and age for somebody to say, this is who I am.
Yeah.
You know, and this, I'm happy with the love I have around me. I think that's an unbelievable piece.
Well, Philly, you spoke earlier about my dad handing down boxing and stuff like that. That's what he handed down.
Yeah.
Family. That's a Collins thing. Family. You know what I mean? And I met Carolyn when I was 15. Well, I seen her when I was 15, just up the road from here. I started going out when we were 16, walking to Phoenix Park, doing her ever since. But she's loyal, straight, and no mug. No mug. Solid. Like, I've been banjoed by Carolyn, I'm telling you that as well. It's not all. You know what I mean? Lovey dovey. He lived with Copeland suits. I've seen the front garden many times. That's the truth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, but you have to give it. I wouldn't have gotten nowhere near the opportunities and the backing without Carolyn. You know what I mean? Because you have to think of your family. When you're 5 kids later on, or I say, Carolyn, how are we fixed? What do you mean? Well, can we take that gamble? Yeah, we'd be grand. Out we go.
Yeah.
It's great. And then, like, you come in after a game, Carolyn, if you win, Carolyn wouldn't have to say anything to me. She'd get the results, she'd be waiting for me in Lily Bardella's or somewhere. Be fucking Ted Lasso jumping around the gap. When you lose, Carolyn said to the kids, leave him.
Yeah.
And Carolyn would be dressed up to go out. Final whistle, they lost. She'd just get back into her civvies, you know. And it was just a support. Was brilliant.
Yeah.
And I dragged her. Well, I didn't drag Carolyn, she came with me. I wouldn't drag her. Carolyn said to me tomorrow, now I'm meeting a fella tomorrow about going to China, right? I had a chat with Carolyn, she said, yeah, we give her a bash. Carolyn said to me tomorrow after meeting him, I'm not going to China. I said, we're not going to China. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But as Philly said, you need that. You can't have a situation where you're leading one life and you're married to a woman who's the mother of your children, your partner, your best pal, and she can't be involved in it, whether it's giving you compassion, or you don't want to engage her, that's never going to work. Yeah. You know what I mean?
So will you need her back in any stage now in the future? Is it 5 years since you've been managing now?
I never wanted to be out of work.
So you're ready to rock, if the opportunity
I'm ready to go. I applied for Pats, I applied for Cork, Cliftonville, Glentoran.
Why do you think, Roddy, that you're not getting those gigs?
Well, now, possibly because, as Colin says, I'm out of the game maybe 5 years and you probably think I lose touch. Maybe because I want too much, Philly. I go into clubs to win.
Yeah.
Never for a financial. I always get paid. But I never, ever disagreed with a club over money. I disagree over training facilities or their ambition or what they want. And if I go, that's not what I want. I want to win the league every year. Well, you can't win the league every year. But you can strive to do it, Philly. Mm. So I'm a bit, I'll put it this way, I'm the worst politician in the world. In a dressing room, I'm the best. In a boardroom, I'm a fucking disaster. You know what I mean?
In what way? Like, are you like a bull in a china shop sort of thing?
I'll tell you what, right? I was at a meeting at Bowes 20 years ago, and there was a lot of committee members around, and I was putting my case forward. And it was all professional, relevant to bring the club forward. And the stuff that was coming back. And I went, here, hold on a minute. And Turlock was me Turlock, mentor.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Turlock done that. Under it. And I was like, get your hand up. I'm not listening to this crap.
Yeah.
And that was it. That was the beginning of the end for me there. So you asked me a question, Philly. I'm probably too demanding. And anyone looking out there to look for a manager, if you want someone just to hold the corner shop, don't even think about ringing me. Mm. I want to go in and turn the world upside down and win the next
thing. Do you think, like here in Ireland, do you think there's many clubs that, if you look at the amount of teams in the top division now in the Intercity League, do you think there's the ambition in the boardroom for, I'd say there's probably, you know, when you're talking about year after year winning leagues, there's probably four teams that really believe they can go and win the league. Obviously Rovers, they've done it through their own, you know. So but do you think there's enough ambition in the boards of other clubs to take a punt on someone that has been out of the game for 5 years but that wants just to go and win the league? So for example, tomorrow UCD draw to whoever it is, you know, who brilliant clubs that fight tooth and nail every year. Do you think they look at you and go, you know, we can't win the league, impossible, but you're saying we should strive towards it?
Yeah.
So what do you think is the block there that's stopping that happening?
Would someone like that, Philly? I would love a man, a chairman in a boardroom or a boardman, say he's proved what he's done. Right, look at the clubs that he took with no money. Bowes had no money, won a double. Carlisle, biggest achievement in my football career, at loan, 20 years out of the league, 6 lowest budget, won the league with 4 games to go. Monaghan, 15 years out of the league, promoted in the first season with the 6th lowest budget again. So if you look, we'll have the problem. He might drive us mad, but whatever we're getting now, he might get us 30% more and might get us into Europe, right? Now, I don't believe in risk management, Philly, either. You know, let's throw a lot of money at it. That doesn't work. You get the best players, and I'm good at picking players, you get the best out of them, you achieve something, you get money in, turnstiles, prize money, and that's your little budget for the start of the next season, and you build on that. Right, so I would be hoping to someone out there, you know, because I can improve every player I've ever worked with. I would build a team of with the right mentality, right, because teams wins leagues, right, players wins cups, I always say. So you build a team of the right mentality that when you're down in the trenches, you look to each other. Like when Philly was, and I'm not filling your pocket, Philly. I looked when Dublin was in the trenches, looked to Philly. Philly knew, had the know-how, the little nudge, the little block, the little bit of dark arts. All that's required with skill, ability. But the most important thing is with the desire as a man to a man, I'll look after you. And having a great day, I'll cover for you, I'll look after you. That's what wins games over a period of time. And I always say, I brought life into a dressing room, is like Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Right, I've given this team talk on a numerous occasion when I had to. There's all sorts of different personalities. We can't be all the same. There's a grumpy. I had a player up in Derry Don't name him.
I know who you're on.
Everyone thought he was grumpy. I thought he was a great fella. He was just born with a grumpy face.
Great striker.
Brilliant. Yep, you're narrowing it down. The chap was just born with a grumpy face. He was a great bloke. He was a lovely fella, and I had a great time with him. But I'd won in England as well, and he was grumpy looking, but he was a great bloke. So I said, right, I'm going to throw this in. I went and I said, right, lads, can we all sit down? I can feel a little bit of friction in the dressing room. Now, you have to understand, Snow White, the Seven Dwarfs, is not a fairy tale. It's about life, the whole of life, and distress in real life. And we have a happy, he's always laughing. We have a bashful in the corner, right? And we have to, and then I get to the one and I says, and we've a grumpy, and we all know, right? It's a pot of stew, it's the Seven Dwarfs. Forget about your 8 grand pro license badge. Get rid of it.
Yeah.
Let the Rodfather in. Let him hit the Man United tomorrow. I'll go into United tomorrow and sort that out.
Brilliant.
But I have one myth I want you to clear up.
It's so. Not true.
Good friend of mine, Paddy Andrews, loves a story. He tells a story that maybe he did or somebody else told a story. I'm just going to say it that way in anyway. That you looked to sign him for Monaghan United.
I signed him.
Did you?
I arranged him. Go to the FAU and check the.
Why and what? Where did that come from?
I'll tell you why, right? Paddy lives 2 minutes from me, right? And great young fella. Knocked around with me daughter, Niamh. And we had no players and no money. Yeah. Paddy's getting dropped out of the squad.
Yes.
And I thought, right, okay. Niamh said, Daddy's a great footballer. I've seen him playing with the lads on the pitch around the corner. So I was driving up on Sunday. And Paddy was coming in, let's say, the worst for wear, right? Yeah. Paddy! Oh, Rod! Get in, you alright? Yeah, we out last night? Yeah. Man round the house says, you're right? Niamh said you're a great footballer. I can make you the next Shane Long. Start listening to me. Went to the fridge. Little can of Guinness for me, little can of Guinness for Paddy. Sit down there, son. So by the time he finished his can of Guinness, I had a play for Ireland. So what do you need to do, Paddy? Sign that, will you? He's in the second can, we signed that one, right?
Don't read it, just sign it there, Paddy.
Yes,
I'll look after.
Come here, I would look after, I'd never do him in. So Paddy, sign that, I'll see where I can get you. So off he went, that was great. Straight to the papers, because it was... You know, it was like signing Philly or signed John O'Leary when I played. It was a big name, you know. So it was great for publicity and that. I'll never forget it. About 4 o'clock on the Monday. I looked at this Paddy sheet, boy. Rod, come here. Remember that thing I signed yesterday? Yeah, please cancel it. I'm getting fucked out of Bridget's, right? I said, that's cancelled. It wasn't. It was registered. Oh, it was helpful to get thrown out of Bridget when I had him playing the following Sunday. But that's a true story.
Yeah,
we butted her up different ways to look after Paddy. I said he came up with a cup of tea. Yeah. He didn't. He had a nice can of Guinness
cup
with
of
the
tea.
Rats had her.
It's out now, Paddy.
It's out there, Paddy. There you go.
There you go.
Very quickly. Yes. Every week we're getting our special guests to do their Breaking Ball Ultimate 15 card, so it's like a FIFA card. So please don't be offended by your overall score. It is Kevin Kilbane's overall score. He was far too
happy. Happy with the photograph.
Yeah,
he's got the right jersey on it anyway.
Nice
jersey,
yeah. Yeah, I was going to wear me Dublin jersey. Yeah.
Kevin Kilbane was far too modest with his score, so his average is 7-2. You need to beat that, and then we'll put together a little collection. If you were a GA player, what was your position?
Full forward.
Bearing the square.
Yeah. The Colm or Rook.
You're banging them in for
free. Colm Rook, he's a mead man.
I know he is, and I really resent saying that. But if we'd have had him back in my time with big John McNally and all, he would have been the difference.
Yeah.
Imagine scoring into the hill. Oh my God. If I could just close my eyes and just be 21 for 2 minutes of my life.
This man can tell you about
it. What's it like, Philly?
Come on. Final.
Runs and like a Kevin Morton run. What's it like?
He'd love to be back there doing it.
I know you get asked about it all the time, but you remember when you scored and you're Martin Cooper 2015, I think everyone always talks. But that must have been amazing, running back to pick up the best forward in Ireland again after you scored. It must have been the best celebration.
The only thing I would, the cherry on the top of that would be shooting the opposite end into the hill.
Yeah.
Because when I scored that point, it was just before half time, and in my head, I was constantly saying, don't let him back to the pitch.
Yeah.
So I didn't get back up to the hill for a while.
Yeah,
for a couple of seconds after that, because I was stopping him. body checking, because I knew it, that was my time that I had an energy that I was like, I'm going to make you feel like you're going to feel not good after me scoring that, but I'm going to make you feel even worse now by slowing you coming up the spin. So now we're up to the hill. Took me a couple of plays to get back up the hill.
So we've got six attributes here, Roddy. Now these are GA attributes, so we need your, what you think your score would be out of 100. So pace first.
Pace, I wouldn't be in the quickest or say, give me the first 10 yards, you wasn't going to catch me.
Once you get going.
Like, I get 100 yards, and I won them in the Olympics at 100 yards. Like, I'll be a bit like a James McCarthy pace. You know what I mean? I'm not going to get away with it in the first five.
Steam train, once you're going.
So, whatever you're going to give James, I'll take less five.
I give James 83.
I boxed his dad, by the way.
John.
Did he? But Philly, I'll give you the call. You played with James.
James for me is a hybrid. So if you were like physically breaking down a team, you could break them into two animals: rabbits and gorillas. But James is his own animal. He's in between those. So a rabbit would be Jack McCaffrey. I'd be a gorilla, which would be like, you know, just have to be fast over, as you said, 10 meters, 15 meters. But James is a hybrid. So if you were doing athletics, you'd have a 100-meter sprinter, let's say a 600, 800-meter sprinter. James is fitting the 4 to 600, which is it's a hybrid in your energy system. It's very hard to do that run. So I would say he is quite high in pace. I'd give him quite high now. I'd give him definitely 80.
Well, I'll give him a race.
83 then for Roddy.
Over 83.
Let's go shooting. What's shooting out of 100?
I was a goal scorer in soccer.
Yeah, Crusaders. You were banging them in.
Banging them in. Top scorer. I was when I played there. And I watch you call it when I played for O'Connell Boys. I took all the dead balls.
Mentioned that with Kevin Kilbane. He was like, soccer players would find dead balls easy because they're, you know, always kicking off the ground. So what are you going for? 90.
99.
Brilliant. Love it.
Passing.
Can I give myself my own marks?
So I was just trying to tee
you up. For
he gives them all. Passing out of 100.
What was your passing like?
Passing was, let me say, it was.
Now remember, this is you have it in your hands now. It's not on the ground.
My passing was very good, and I wasn't a hand passer. I was a bit like a Dermot O'Connor.
Connolly.
We used to like to whack it. Boom. Like a pinpoint it.
Torpedo.
Yeah, I loved him the way he done that. And I used to say, that's me.
Sky Sports Pass.
That's you.
So we're talking 90 again here.
He has to be up for 90s there. Dermot Connolly was one of the best kick passers of the game.
Well, if you're the same as Dermot Connolly, we're going 99.
No, come here. I wouldn't put myself the same as Dermot. I'd say 95.
95 it is.
Skill out of 100. 65 maybe? Is that
modest? I wouldn't even go that far.
Yeah,
I'd say 55.
So physicality, let's redeem yourself here.
That's right. Well, I'd say if you asked anyone in the game, they'd go up to the late 90s.
Lovely.
Not asking me.
Yeah.
I can't say that. But if you asked anyone played against
90s.
Mick Neville used to say, oh Jesus, Rod, I used to be in a car crash every Monday morning after playing against you. Just stand on his toes into the ribs.
Yeah.
Sixth rib, the soft one. Boom!
Yeah. From one girl to another, you should decide what Roddy's getting for physicality.
He's bred from the same cloth as me, I definitely think he's high in the physicality.
95%. Definitely. And the last one, defending Roddy out of 100.
Defending? No, I wasn't a great defender. I was too flamboyant minded attacking to be doing that dirty work.
Yeah. So give us your mark out of 100 for defending, and we'll be able to give you your average.
50.
Very modest. Yeah, Roddy, that's absolutely brilliant. Let's take a quick break, and we're going to do the worst thing that you can do in one of these shows and predict the games coming up this weekend. Okay, so the big game this weekend is obviously Mayo and Dublin. Sorry to Kerry and Tyrone fans out there. Sorry to Derry.
Andy, well.
It's good. It's like trying to mention everybody in a speech now. But to look at the big game this weekend, we've brought up our new tactics tool. So David Fitzgibbon is putting this together. Great asset we've got in here. So it's a bit more interactive that we can use it now. So what I want to talk through is Mayo have gotten, we saw it again against Galway, they've gotten very good at playing against a swarm defence. Not brilliant, they still have weaknesses, but they're able to hold the ball really well. They moved it so well. They were patient against Galway, and then they tried to pick their holes, and eventually they got through. But what I think that does for Dublin now is that it lets them sit. So with Mayo, we're pushing up, and Aidan O'Shea's going inside. Dublin will have the bodies back there, but they can let Mayo hold the ball. It's usually Dublin doing this. But now when they turn that ball over, they're the ones going to be able to break, and they're the ones going to be able to use the width of the pitch, because what's happening normally is when a team is holding the ball, the pitch is smaller, and then it's like a vicious circle because they have to hold the ball then as well because the pitch is smaller and it's harder to make inroads. When a team is countering that, they've got the whole pitch they work with, and Dublin can break quicker like that, and they don't often get to do this. They're the ones always holding the ball usually.
Yeah, I think that I suppose the one critic I would have had for this Dublin team is that maybe the transition is not as fast as I would like to see it on the basis of what you can see structurally on the pitch.
Yeah.
But when you're watching from, you know, the TV or from Croke Park, it's different to when you're playing because you have bodies in front of you.
Yeah.
So what I'm talking about, I'd like to see Dublin transition fast, because if Mayo do push up, have Aidan O'Shea inside and have runners off him, that they will be so pushed up high. But the transition is not as easy as, look, they're up high, kick, because you'll have a person in the link from maybe the centre forward running out and then the diagonal ball going in or whatever that may be, or runners. But that's not as easy when you're on the pitch, when you see what's in front, you see bodies.
Yeah.
You don't really see what's there in terms of space, okay? So you don't see it from aerial view. What Mayo do brilliantly, in fairness to them, is they, as I said before, they have that transition where they have a target man, they've Aidan O'Shea, that will stretch the Dublin defence, and that will make sure that, like, so that they don't concede a goal, they'll probably put a sweeper in.
Yeah,
plus
yeah.
Plus one. But what Aidan O'Shea is doing now is they're transitioning really well. Should just give him a little 5-yard hand pass, which makes you want to get tighter to him. But also you're asking questions of the high ball in, short ball out in front, little hand passes. But I do think the danger really off O'Shea is the runners, not O'Shea.
Yeah.
When O'Shea gets the ball, he's not going to be, that I've seen this year and I've seen in previous years, get the ball turned and go at it, and go for goal. Maybe in Connacht he's done that a little bit, but it's the runners coming off. It's O'Donoghue coming off. It's O'Connor coming off him, you know.
Yeah.
O'Connor coming off him. So
he got the ball, you're behind him. Would you almost not be leaving him at it, but almost just be second guessing this pass now?
I wouldn't commit to him. He's a fella that would like contact. I think a lot of these players will have habits that you can read through your analysis the week of the game. O'Shea runs a particular side.
Yeah.
So you mark the opposite side, you mark his opposite shoulder, you push him to the side he doesn't want to run. And you kind of mark side on. You don't mark in front of him because you get the ball behind you. You don't mark too far behind.
That's interesting, because I was just going to ask, should you mark from behind or mark from the front?
Yeah.
And you're like, do neither.
Slightly on his shoulder, behind him, and be in a position to, you know, compete for the ball out in front, but also be in a position that if he catches the ball in front of you, that you're still facing, you're between him and the goal.
Yeah. You
know? But he's changed. Sorry, McStay, I think, has changed his role a little bit too. It's okay if you don't get these big high balls, because we just want to use it as a pivot.
Yeah.
But for me, if Dublin are going to win this game, they have to have a good start.
Yeah.
Why do you have to have a good start? Because they'll have to settle the ship. They'll have to make sure that they can control the intensity, because they haven't experienced it this year. You know, they haven't experienced a team that plays a kick, fast transition game between kick and carry and the carrying game. So they'll have to settle the ship for the first 15 minutes. So the most important quarters of the game against Mayo is quarter one and quarter three.
Yeah.
Okay. Quarter three, because I guarantee you that's what they focus on. You know, get out. You see it in Aussie Rules, it's a championship quarter. They bet us 2 years ago on the basis of that, of quarter three. They bet Galway in quarter three.
Yeah.
So they're the two things I would hone in on in the information. If Dublin are going to really, really get the edge here. But I think it's going to be a cracker of a game. I think I would definitely look at how are Dublin going to deal with the runners? How are they going to deal with the big threat? I don't know who they're going to put on O'Shea. I'm still guessing who they're going to put on him.
Have they called you at all?
No, I'm definitely not getting the phone call, but I don't think they've had anybody that's been as seen as a who have they played against this year that they've had a key target man inside it.
Yeah. Ross Common had the Mertes, but they're all like, you know, Kieran and Dermot is like, there's not the one, like,
possibly Loud was
Mulroy, David Byrne on him, was it?
Yeah. So look, it's there's going to be loads of challenges for the Dublin team, and as again, if they win it, I think they'll have so much learnings going into the semi-final, whoever that may be. I think it's going to be a tight game, a brilliant game, but I'm going to give it to Dublin. Not just because of my bias towards Dublin, but yeah. I just think there's a motivation of hurt there that Mayo don't really have. And Mayo have shown this year, every time they've took a big scalp, they've probably fell at the next hurdle.
You've been saying this from the very start of the year.
Yep.
You've been saying this from the very start of the year. And it all comes down to this. It all comes down to this. Tomorrow, Dublin v Mayo. Thanks a million for that, Philippe. Okay, it's the Breaking Ball Challenge. Before we go, Roddy, we're going to play a quick game of Who Am I? Philly, you lost your challenge last week to the Dublin Ladies, so you really have to redeem yourself here. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you both a name. Do not tell the other person the name that you are, and you're only going to get 6 questions each to try and figure out who you are. So Roddy, there's going to be a name on top of you, and Philly, there's going to be a name on top of you. And all you're trying to do in those 6 questions is get the answers off Philly about who you are. After those 6 questions, then you're going to guess. And that's it. All you can do is answer with a yes or no. So make a question good. I'm only doing 6 questions to celebrate your 6 in a row. And also, we don't have all day, so we need to get going here. So, Philly, you're going to start. You can ask Roddy the first question of who you are. He can see the name on top of you.
Okay. Is he a sports person?
Yes. Is he Irish?
Yes. Does he play soccer?
No. Does he play a ball game?
Yes. Is he a sporting person?
Yes.
Right.
Is he from Limerick?
No.
3 more each. It's going to be a tough guess.
Is he from Dublin?
Yes. Is he an international?
No. That's far, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Is he a boxer?
No.
Okay.
Is he a manager?
No. Is he a manager?
Yes.
They're close.
So you know he's not from Limerick.
Is he a professional?
No. Did he manage the Dublin club?
Yes.
Right, that's mine. That's mine.
Ready?
Yeah, I know you.
You
have
one more.
Right. Why not me with this fella anyway?
You know he's not from Limerick and he's not a professional.
Is he from Mayo?
Is he from Mayo? No.
Okay.
Jerry McCondy.
Nope. Close though.
You can
Close.
Tell
me.
Ah, no, that's too close to home. No, that's too close to home.
Philly, you have your chance to win it. If he doesn't win it, we can start again.
I'm going to say, I was aiming towards, because it was me, I was going to say it was a Roddy, but the only other person I can think of, football manager from Dublin, had managed Dublin clubs, is Steve McCann.
Oh!
Yes!
Roddy, thanks very much. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks a million for watching. We'll chat to you the same time next week. See you later.